Veterans Voice is a show that connects veterans and active members of the military to qualified guests who help you find programs and benefits you qualify for and discuss housing, education, career training, and other topical matters. Every show addresses issues that affect your life. Call in and share your experience. 781-837-4900.
Welcome, everybody. Gee, Larry, I'm looking over here, looking for you, and, you know, it's a good time I'm ambidextrous, you know, that I can have you point at me with either direction. But welcome, everybody. Greg Brasher, your host.
I get the same feeling in here. I'm looking in, and I'm looking right at you now.
Yeah, I know.
It's like you're really close. It's like I got a big TV, and I'm going to change the channel because you're scaring me.
And we don't have Wolfie tonight.
Oh, that would be worse.
And we don't have Wolfie tonight. But we've got an action-packed show tonight because we've got one of our friends that's been a friend, a veteran's voice for quite a while, Chris Buckley is in from East Bridgewater. Chris, thanks so much for coming in tonight, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Greg. Thanks for the offer, and thanks for all that you guys do for the veterans in our local community.
Well, we do it in conjunction with your team. You know, as Dave Henkel would say, one team, one fight. So we're all out there, and you know, we got our co-host Justin is over there. Welcome, Justin.
Nice to be back with Larry so close, right over my shoulder.
Yeah, now he's peeking. Look out!
Yeah, he's over my shoulder. So
look out! And Jen is back from, boy, I don't know.
She's just back.
She's just back. Yeah, she's just back. Thanks for coming in tonight, Jen.
Glad to be back.
We're now talking to one of our friends that's a VSO. And Chris, we talk about it all the time, but for the audience, what's a VSO and what do you do?
Okay, so a VSO in most other parts of the country are regionalized. Here in Massachusetts, and the number one thing that we really want to stress from our position is we are in every municipality. Every town, every city has one VSO who is in charge of looking after the veterans, and it's a Chapter 115, a law that's been in effect since 1860 here in the Commonwealth.
What? Chapter 115?
Chapter 115, it's an income assistance program.
We'll have to talk about that at some point in time tonight. There's a lot of questions. I have questions in my own mind about 115.
Definitely. But that's the state law that mandates that you know, each town and city have a veteran representative. So you can't go to Rhode Island and get that. You can't go to New Hampshire, Connecticut, get it. You can only get it here in Massachusetts. And we have a very good team, especially down here on the South Shore, of all us veteran service officers.
Sure.
We like to be all on the same page, so each town you go to, you get similar service.
Yeah,
to...
and you guys all hang together.
Yes.
You know, so now you're sharing common practices and what works and kind of how to avoid some of the speed bumps that you're running into and how to file for different claims and get different things not pushed through, but approved. So who should come to you in East Bridgewater, and where would they find you?
So in East Bridgewater, I'm at the town hall. That's 175 Central Street in East Bridgewater, right above the school and right across the street from the cemetery in the center of town. And we're looking for all veterans. For instance, I've been there 5 years. I have about 850 vets on the rolls.
Wow.
I've talked to over 600 of them. So.
You're just East Bridgewater?
Just East Bridgewater.
And so there's a regular plain Bridgewater?
And
there's a West Bridgewater?
Mm-hmm. But I'm just East. That's true. I'm just East.
Oh, boy. Boy, am I glad.
They couldn't come up with another name of the town, so they just kept that East-West. I'm surprised it's not a South Bridgewater. You know, they couldn't come up with a different name. But.
Well, and you know, we just passed our 200th anniversary this past year, and it just so happens, doing some of the research, Brockton used to be North Bridgewater. So, I mean, yeah. It's
wow.
All kinds of.
I did not know
wow.
that. Interesting.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. Is that why you kicked their butt this year in football?
Yeah, no, we do what we do.
Yeah, so. I know. Good for you. We love them all.
But yeah, mainly the main two things.
800 veterans in East Bridgewater, huh?
Correct. Yes. So the main two things we focus on, obviously, number one is outreach to make sure everybody knows where we're at. But the two main things are VA claims and trying to get people enrolled in getting the health care. Because if they get compensated, that's one thing. But the main thing is the health care overall for the length of the rest of their life. I mean, they earned it. It's a, you know, it's an earned benefit. And then this Chapter 115 program has been great. It's been able to help get veterans back up on their feet and help them sustain them in you know, time, hard times and such.
And now I'm sure you're you've been advising veterans about the PACT Act and the characteristics of that. Do you want to talk about the PACT Act for a minute, if you could?
Yes. Yeah, so one of the main things the PACT Act did was it extended the time where a veteran can come back off of active duty and enroll into the VA. And then it has also some new presumptives for the Vietnam era and Gulf era and current era vets.
Especially now, haven't they kind of really upped the pressure in getting more Gulf era vets involved in the program because of the oil fires and the problems, the burn pits and all of that?
Yes, and that's one of the main things we see. You know, a lot of people are aware of the Vietnam era and the absolute just hell they've been through.
Yeah.
Next coming up right after them is the Gulf War.
You're seeing the early onset.
Yeah, we're seeing the early onset, and then you know that's just food for thought for current war vets like myself that have been in Iraq and Afghanistan. Let's keep track of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And over the next 10, 20 years, we're going to see the same type of tendencies and same type of you know, health issues and all that sort of stuff.
Because Justin, as you know. Your vets came back from the Vietnam era. They didn't necessarily feel sick when they came back.
No, I mean,
or 5 years later, yeah. Or 10 years later, they were still doing okay. They were fat, dumb, and healthy.
As one of my guys said, you know, he volunteered to serve his country and defend his country, and if he had to die in combat, he was willing to do that. But he said, "I didn't sign up to get poisoned," and. 40 years later, we see the aftermath. Right now, my generation is burying Vietnam vets at
way
a
too many.
Rate.
Way too many.
And the other thing that came up, which was interesting, you know, we talk about they're expanding the bases because people thought it was just in country. And they said, no, these containers were transported on planes.
Well, they had to start somewhere.
Something else that came up, one of my guys was telling me that when these containers came, they were on these wooden pallets. You know, and they had spills on the wood and everything. So they would take the containers and put them on the planes. But the wood, the guys used to, especially if it was cold, they used to break the wood up and throw it in a barrel and they would burn it.
Oh.
Because it kept them warm.
Nothing like burnt orange make your lungs feel warm on a cold night, huh?
And a little history on that. I think there were 8 types of Agent Orange. They had different colors. Blue was for the crops. And they found that the early one, the white, and some of these weren't strong enough to defoliate. So... you see from 62 when they started using the foliage to I think 68 to 71 was the major Agent Orange. That's what gets the biggest because there was over 238,000 barrels used. But along the way, they weren't strong enough, so the company just kept making it stronger. They had different colors, but I know blue was for the
crops. it was a good idea, kind of.
Well, the concept was good.
The concept was good.
So your combat troops can go in and see the enemy.
And the foliage was really, really thick. And you could be 5 feet away from the jungle and not see anything in, I'm imagining.
And that was the concept.
So they were cleaning 1,000 feet out or something. And, what the hell?
But then it got into the rivers, which the guys were bathing. Or crossing rivers, it got into the, you know, so no one took it. Well, maybe someone realized down the line, but that's how it was sold. So it's
and how about the poor folks in Vietnam that we left behind?
You know, we don't even talk about the people that were left behind, especially the South Vietnamese, that we were spraying the blue toxic into their crops to kill their crops. And those people continue even today to, you know, farm those fields with, you know, with the contamination and wonder why their rate of dying and you see what's happening to them.
Well, amazing. And that's one of the main reasons, whether you are a Vietnam vet, whether you're a Gulf War vet or a current war vet, get into the VA. So if you're in the VA and you start, you know, having these health problems, we can help you. What's hurting us here at home is everybody's coming to us at the 11th hour and saying, hey, help me. And believe me, we're doing everything we possibly can, but it's more difficult if they come to us, you know, when they've already got the diagnosis.
Timing is everything. Right.
So one thing we have noticed, and I've had vets come to me and thank me for, and the system for, is they will keep their civilian doctor and they will have their VA doctor. So they'll go to their civilian doctor in January. They'll go to their VA doctor in June. If you're getting checked twice a year, you're more likely to catch something.
Beautiful.
So that's
great.
That's the way to work it. I mean, especially with everything they've been exposed to.
Yep. Timing is everything. Timing is everything, but at this point, it's our time for our first break. So, Larry, why don't you take us away here, kid, as I look into that beautiful face of yours that only a mother could love. Why don't you take us away here, Larry?
Not much difference between you and me, right?
No, a couple of panes of glass, that's all. That's all there is. So, thanks, take it away. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome, everybody. Chapter 2 here of tonight's Veterans Voice Radio with Chris Buckley, East Bridgewater VSO, talking about the role of the VSO and how lucky the Massachusetts veterans that live in Massachusetts reside here only for one day, if I'm not mistaken. Chris, is that and one day's eligibility is all they need, and they can call you and take advantage of the wonderfulness of what's going on, because Massachusetts has other benefits involved that other states don't have. Is that correct, Chris?
That's correct. And one of those benefits is the state annuity. So if you are a Gold Star spouse, Gold Star parent, a 100% disabled veteran, then the state will go ahead and it's a $2,000 annuity split into a February and an August payment, and the governor has done a great job to go ahead and she is looking to go ahead and continuing it and increasing it. It hasn't been increased.
I heard
it hasn't been increased to this century. Let's put it that way.
They've been talking.
It's been
about
a little bit, and with inflation and everything.
John Volpe was governor. They've been talking about going to $1,500 twice a year, but they deserve it, and hopefully it'll come soon.
And that's a program that runs right straight through the state, off the state website. If anybody has any questions on anything we talk about,
a lot of folks don't know about that annuity. Who would qualify? And do you counsel people on this annuity?
That we do. So, for instance, if I have a recently widowed spouse who comes in, or a widow that comes in of a veteran, she may not know, or he may not know, that because their spouse's death was service connected, that they're eligible for this annuity. So, if anybody has any questions on this, mass.gov/veterans gets you to all this stuff. And again, get with your local VSO and they can sit down and schedule some time with you and go over the benefits that you may not need. And the tricky part here is, just because you're a veteran and just because you're a widow doesn't mean everybody gets the same thing. So, it really is important to sit down with somebody who knows what they're talking about and break it down. And this way they can send the right emails. They can shoot the state an email. They can go through the things and they can look at everything for the individual person.
And taking the place of Wolfie, just in case there's somebody out there that likes you and thinks you know what you're talking about, could they call you and get some advice from you directly, Chris? And how would they go about reaching you?
So it just so happens the state has a Find Your VSO, and you can type in East Bridgewater, and you'll find me. You can type in Brockton, and you'll find Kelly, Braintree, Vinny, Adam in Abington, this sort of thing. So that's the main thing. The state has done a good job of revamping, and very easy to get in there and get in touch with somebody at your local level.
And how about a phone number?
For my office, it's 508-378-1603. And I am available every hour the East Bridgewater Town Hall is open. So
I have a question. So I enlisted here in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I get when I get out, I get discharged besides my benefit? Is there any other benefit I get?
There is a welcome home bonus, depending. It's era specific. So definitely see us about that. We do a lot of those. But mainly looking just to get in touch with everybody, because if we're not in touch with our veterans, we don't want what they need. If we're in touch with them, they're telling us what they need, what they don't need.
You're meeting with veterans every day, mm-hmm. just about, I bet, Chris.
Oh, every day. Every
now,
day.
And if somebody has a problem and, I've been putting it off, I don't really... Can they just walk into the town hall and come and maybe grab 5 minutes of your time?
They can. It just so happens...
I know you're really busy, but, you know, there's some folks that might just... put it off, you know, I really got to talk to somebody. I got to go meet this kid because I think he knows what he's talking about.
Definitely. Then, definitely come into the town hall. If I'm meeting with a veteran, come get a card and then give me a call and we can connect later on in the week, the next week. Just so happens for some reason, I don't know why, but Thursdays happen to be my busiest days, so I try to don't schedule any appointments that day just because there's so much foot traffic and so many phone calls. Maybe everybody wants to get out before the weekend, but those are definitely my busiest walk-in day in the office.
What is the ages that you're seeing the most, Chris? Is it old guys like Justin and I, or is it, you know, young kids like Jenny? What are you seeing, or do you run the whole gamut?
I'd say 60% retired, you know, 60, 62 and above, 40%. We're starting to, that 40 is starting to creep in as we're getting more outreach in, and we're finding out, well, whether we have newer veterans that are moving in with their families in the town, but it's usually about 60-40, but like I said, the 40 is starting to catch up a little bit.
Very nice. Very nice. Justin, you're looking, you know, that 60 is
well, you know, and I think that
is
what,
us,
and that's what happens. I think, and I've spoke about this before. I think when a veteran gets out, it's a lot different today getting out than 40, 50 years ago. There's more networking as before you leave. They're talking to you. You know, you got these younger VSOs, and that's what I've been impressed with the last 15 years. Is these VSOs now are a lot younger. I noticed you used the word kid to them. Anybody under 60 to us is a kid, so don't take offense to that. But it's true. I think what happens is my generation, we got busy. We didn't have the networking. You know, PTSD wasn't really...
Networking didn't have the... Network didn't exist back then.
No, cell phones didn't exist. So when we got out, it was a different era. So you went to work, raised the family, and then all of a sudden, around 60, those health issues started creeping up. You know, for the guys affected by Agent Orange, all of a sudden, the cancers started happening. And all these other factors come in. So 60, 65, you retire. And now the veteran says, whoa, I got to do something. I heard I can get a benefit, or I need health care. So that's that 60, 65, I think, is happening. I'm impressed that there's 40% of the younger veterans who are hearing, whether it's veterans radio or their VSOs or wherever they're getting their information, to get into the health care. Because, like you said, get into the system so you're in there before something may happen, and then it's easier through the process. It doesn't make it easier your health conditions, but at least you're preparing yourself to go through it. And we just discussed about Parkinson's, which today they broke saying that now that they found a marker for it, which is, you know, we're big on the Parkinson. We've been talking that for many years, and we're going to have to see really what that's about. And at the festival this year, the Parkinson folks will be here.
So, well,
I'm impressed with that.
Just because we are in ahead of everybody on the curve, April 11th, we happen to have the National Parkinson's Foundation coming in. And April 11th just happens to be National Parkinson's Day. So we're going to have that plus Brett Miller from 110 Fitness, the world's leading treatment for Parkinson's Center, will be in studio.
Which is in Rockland.
Which is in Rockland, so we are on it.
Right, absolutely.
And
the timing is perfect. I mean, for this break.
Isn't that wonderful that, you know, I know the Michael J. Fox Foundation has raised over $1 billion for research and is really, it's so happy to see finally some results,
yep.
you know, with that I can't wait to have the story from these guys. Not that I don't trust you. Not like Wolfie telling me, right. Believe me.
No, but it's true. I mean, I'm really interested because, like, when I heard that break this afternoon, I was like, oh, man. Because I've got a few of my guys have Parkinson's. I've lost some folks. So my generation is really seeing how that Parkinson's affecting the veterans community. And so I'm hoping that this – I'm definitely going to be here on the 11th, but – I want to really hear now from those experts on what effect this means. What does it mean for those affected? What does it mean for those veterans who are getting into the system, how they need to get tested and why, how important that is? So.
Well, Brett Miller will certainly be here, and he's on the board of directors of the Michael J. Fox Foundation. So between him and the representative from the National Parkinson's Foundation.
We'll have some answers.
We'll have the answers. And folks, both of those groups are going to be at our festival coming up on July 13th in Quincy. In fact, we have begun a couple of years ago sponsoring a Parkinson's Pavilion at our event for the sole purpose of getting the truth about the truth out to you folks. Because you might have heard this, and somebody in the street told you that, and your cousin's brother's sister's twice removed. You know, they're all experts, Chris, you know?
Definitely. Well, and that's where a lot of the coffee hours and is networking, and I know a lot of towns are starting to do that. And, like, for instance, I just had a coffee hour at our Council on Aging. I have it every third Thursday at 10 a.m. at the Council on Aging. And if you're hearing this, by all means, reach out to the East Bridgewater Council on Aging. You meet with us. I know.
And what are the hours on that, Chris?
It's going to be 10 a.m. Okay. on the third Thursday of the month.
And it's free for veterans?
Oh, yeah, free for veterans. And like I said, we'll come in, we'll talk, we'll discuss VA, whatever they want to talk about.
Yeah.
We'll get information out to them. I know a lot of other communities do that as well.
Yeah.
I originally got in touch with Wolfie because of the Hingham Hall Weymouth Coffee Hour that they have on Fridays, the first Friday of the month. So.
And unfortunately, we lost a few of our coffees dropped off because of COVID.
Oh, yes.
And unfortunately, they haven't got started up again. But Justin and I had a meeting today to bring our website more current. We have a list of some of the coffees that were around. Veterans, please go to our website, veteransvoicenetwork.org, if you think there's a coffee in your neighborhood. And if there is, those phone numbers will be right there. Feel free to give them a call and
or let us know if you started a coffee so that we can get that up on the website.
For sure. Please give us a call.
And those are so, Chris, those are so important. A lot of them doing once a month. I know the VFW Westport, they're actually doing it every Friday. I think they're going to shut it down for the summer because everybody gets active and it gets really busy. But from November now straight, we do it every week. We're averaging about 22 veterans every Friday morning. And it's so important. I've met veterans who live in the town who, and I've been there 15 years, and not first time I'm meeting with them.
You never know how many veterans that live in your town, and all of a sudden they start to come out of the woodwork.
Now, granted, it's during the day, so you're getting the retirees. You're not getting maybe the younger veterans, but you know, down the line, you may want to do a coffee on a Sunday morning or something, and try to get that younger veteran crowd in there. But it's a start anyway, and like I said, to me, it's so important to network with those veterans. Especially the ones, for me, the ones who are retired because they have a lot of time on their hands. And they're widows, you know, widowers. And so,
And the loneliness sets in.
Yeah, and they really need, I'm working with one guy specifically. He's having a rough time right now. So you really got to make sure that those happen, whether you're there or have somebody there in this place. It's that consistency.
Definitely. Yeah. And one of the things that in East Bridgewater we benefit from and I have the flexibility with is with being a smaller town, we are open late Monday nights. And this way, if a veteran is working, you know, they can call me.
Nice.
And they could come in 6, 7 o'clock after work. We can sit down.
Wow.
You know, until they shut the lights off on us and, you know, it's
not exactly a 9-to-5 job, huh?
No,
Chris?
No, it's definitely not. But, it, you know, there is ebbs and flows. But,
sure.
You know, you get to kind of figure it out. And the biggest thing is just getting the pulse of your community and making sure what they want. And actually, one of the things that, the community came to me and a lot of the veterans supported was we just recently put up banners in November and we're going to be putting up banners again in April.
Nice, yeah.
So
nice.
We'll have 75 banners. We've got 53 right now. We'll have 75 by the end of April.
Beautiful.
And running them continuously through town. You know, just, and it just shows the patriotic, you know, fever that runs through the town. And we're really, really proud of it. If anybody else has any other questions, by all means, reach out to any of the towns that got banners.
Yeah.
I know myself and Middleborough, we both went through military tribute banners. Florida-based company, absolutely wonderful company. Customer service is out of this world.
So. Beautiful. Well, in our customer service says it's 7:30, so it's time to take that second break. So take it away, Larry. Look us in their eyes and look into our eyes. You handsome devil, you. I can't believe it. I can't believe it's Larry. That's Larry. Imagine that.
God.
Take it away, kid. We'll be back.
No, we're used to going. You're going right. I'm used to looking left, and I know it, Larry.
Looking over the wrong shoulder here. Greg Brasso, your host of Veterans Voice, here back with Chris Buckley, East Bridgewater VSO, and we're talking about the various problems, the PACT Act, and what that means. And what would you say, Chris, to some veterans that maybe went to apply to the VA 10 years ago and maybe they didn't get such a positive result from the VA. Would you encourage those vets to come back in to see what the difference of availability is now compared to 10 or 15 years ago?
Definitely. One of the reasons the PACT Act came about was because the VA had such a stack of, you know, complaints, of chief complaints, and that's why they go back and they reassess these, and that's why it was opened back up. So definitely go in to your local office and just have them look at it and, you know, just give it a once over, twice over, okay, and then just, you know, it's never going to hurt to always ask.
Maybe so. You've lost your hearing in the last 10 years.
What?
What? Huh? And all of a sudden, aren't you qualified? You got tinnitus, you got the ringing problem, and now it opens up the door to some more benefits that they may or may not know about it. And how many folks, how many veterans do you think have tinnitus?
Well, how many would deny?
I mean, 100% maybe?
Well, and then also the other main thing, and a lot of our training goes to, is you can put anything on a claim form and you can throw it up to the VA and they look at it. Well, whether they take 50 seconds to look at it or 50 minutes to look at it is how we're going to put it together. We're going to help you put it together. We're going to get the right statements supporting the right stuff. That's how you do your homework.
Did your history of the service, perhaps?
Your history.
Your MOS, where you served.
Buddy statements, you know, for certain things. Spousal statements, you know, hey, he went on deployment this year. This is how he was, so forth and so on. And just, you know, kind of get into the weeds of it and help the vets help themselves. Because a lot of times, you know, they can try, but then, you know, they're just putting paperwork in the system. We want to make sure the paperwork's detailed and taken care of.
Well, you're part of the community, Chris. I mean, I've known you for quite a while. You're not going to do a suck job because you're going to be there tomorrow. They got to see your face, and you're here because you want to be here.
Exactly. And there's many of us that absolutely love what we're doing. A lot of us, it doesn't feel like work. We're just going, you know, helping people. You know, a lot of times we're doing God's work. You know, helping the less fortunate and stuff. So we're just going to continue to do that, and you know, it's what we're excited to go to work every day for.
Jen, how do you feel when you go out there with your career and stuff, and the Suicide Prevention Coalition? You must get some inner feelings of gratitude when people come back after a while and you said your words made them feel very calm and soothing after such a traumatic event.
Absolutely. It's one thing we hear all the time is, I'm doing God's work. So when you said that, I'm like, people say that to me all the time. And it's, I do it because I was affected by suicide. And I want to help anyone I can. And actually, when I was at the State House and did my speech, one of the things in my speech I did was I talked about the families that I've met, all of them that have losses. And those people are always with me. And, you know, just knowing when they come back and they say, I'm so glad you came into my life, even though it was because of a tragic event, to me, I'm doing something right.
Well, and you have that calm and soothing way about you.
Maybe
it's growing up in a house full of about 155 brothers and sisters, huh?
There was only 10 of us.
That's
11
all.
Of us.
That's all. A small. If Ukraine could have you, they'd kick the Russians' ass in a half an hour. They'd be done. I know that the problems that you faced, Jen. Could be problems today, but there could be reoccurring problems because of the families and those that are left behind, and
right.
I mean the whole myriad of issues that you address that I never knew as far as you know, the survivors.
Yeah, those left behind.
Who's going to talk to the survivors?
Right.
And that's where. Where Jenny, I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend, and her father, 74 years old, lost his daughter, he lost his wife, and he ended up losing his life, 74 years old. It was 8 or 9 years ago. She talks about it like it was yesterday. And it's like, oh, it's 8 years and 37 days and whatever since that, and I finally said to her this weekend that she needs to talk to somebody, yeah. And somebody that understands, not just, I mean, there's regular counselors and stuff, and they understand to a certain degree, and they probably do a great job, but Jen, your specialty. And your empathy, because you've been there and done that.
It's the peer. When I went through my loss, I went for counseling afterwards because I did have survivor's guilt really bad. But it wasn't until I sat and talked to another lost survivor and said they have the same feelings I have that helped me heal. And that's what I, that's one of, and I hate to say it's one of the favorite things I like to do, but I love working with the families and letting them know that you're not alone, because right. A lot of people do think they are alone.
Chris, you and see these folks come into your office, I'm sure.
Oh yes, we get a lot of widows, and we have a lot of family that just once they hand them the flag over, they don't, you know, okay, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah,
and that's really where we come in. A lot of times, and to bring back up the 115 program, you know, if there is a widow, especially if the widow, he or she is living at a housing authority at the state, their housing authority, those financial standards are about the same financial standards for our 115 program. So if there is a veteran in or a widow in the housing authority, it, you know, it's a very good possibility that they qualify for 115 and could be getting more assistance. Wow. And like I said, you know, it takes a village, and, yeah, and we're part of the village. And like I said, we sit down with them on a daily basis and, you know, just answer anything they need.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, Chris, I lost my brother-in-law back in July. He was a Vietnam vet. My oldest sister's husband. And she got in touch with Roxanne from Plymouth. We live in Plymouth. And the stuff that my sister learned, and I kept telling her, you got to go. We talk about this on the show. And she was like, yeah. But when she went, she was like, I never knew he got that annuity.
Exactly.
He never told her.
Put that in his pocket.
But now she's getting it, you know, and that's huge because he was her life. You know, they got married when she was 18 years old. He had just come home from Vietnam. So that the VSO
Little did they know that he had a ticking time bomb. You know, because he was around some Agent Orange, or it brushed on him, or he was in a cargo plane, whatever it might have been. But at this point in time, Larry, why don't we take our last break here? Chris, time's going much too fast here, brother. Good job. So take it away, Larry. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. Now that we know which side of the chair to look over, which shoulder is, so Larry's helping us get through the night here. But, you know, one of the things that we've been talking about tonight, Chris, is all of the different benefits that you have. And mental health is a huge concern of all of us here on the table. We've had, I don't know, Jenny, how many shows have we had on mental illness? What do you do when someone comes in and says, geez, they're not feeling very well? Do you get a call? You know, what type of response would you give someone that's kind of feeling kind of lonely right now?
Well, first we just listen. You know, well, let's listen. Let's kind of get the backstory. One of the things that I love about our job and what we're able to do is we're able to take care of the whole veteran. And we really got to figure out, you know, kind of, you know, the first line to say, okay, you know, what do we need? Is a gift card to go get you some food so you can fill your stomach? Is that going to do it?
Is it rent? Is it rent?
You know, or is it rent? Is it a roof? Yeah. Is it, hey, let's get you an appointment over at the VA and hook you up with one of the social workers over there so someone more, you know, experienced can then take it on from there. It's the very first thing we're doing is listening and just, you know, being there for them. Because if we can get them, you know, that's just another lifeline that they have in us.
Sure. I know, and we talk about 988 quite frequently. Maybe not enough. Justin tries to remind me, and Chuck used to talk about the other numbers, the helplines, but 988, as Jenny will attest, has made a significant impact in the health situation, the mental health situation, and so many. What are you saying? 98% of the phone calls received are there's a positive outcome.
Yeah, that was reported within the first 6 months of 988, the whole initiative back in 2021,
22. Yeah, I was going to say almost 2 years.
This July will be 2 years already. Yeah. So hopefully they'll come out with some new figures. But it definitely, not only it's the calls, it's the texting too. You know, a lot of people, because everyone has their phones.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just text, you know, either 988.
It's easier to text. Right. Less personal than talking to somebody. Yeah.
That might definitely open up the communications, you know.
And the 988, the SAVE team.
Yes.
And the home-based program.
Yep.
I've had success with all three of those. Yep. And like I said, that's other people in our community reaching out and taking care of each other.
Are we on it? You know, you mentioned a great group. Home Base happens to be coming in on June 20th, a return engagement. So, we there's some great companies out there and really some great assistance because you can't do it alone, Chris.
No, definitely. And another entity that I've been working with and partnering with, and I know a lot of our other VSOs have, is the Brockton Vet Court, run out of the district court in Brockton. Absolute wonderful team there.
Tell us about the vet court, if you could.
So, without getting into too much of it, yeah. We don't have too much time. But so it's a
first time offender, right?
Yes, and what they're going to do is they're going to go through the program. It's an 18-month program, and they're going to get them the counseling. And what they're going to do is they're going to take the vet out of their situation that's causing the problem.
Okay.
They're going to give them the tools so the vet can then recognize what the vet needs to do and then recover from there. And the amount of veterans that I've seen go through there over the last 4 years has just been phenomenal.
I've gone to a couple of their graduations.
Yes, as a matter of fact, they got one coming
amazing.
Up next week.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal.
It really is amazing to hear the stories that some of these vets, they were down and out.
Yeah, definitely. And it's an all-vet team. Everybody on there. It's like I said, can't say enough. The amount of work they do, the amount that is not a 9-to-5 job at all. That is a 24/7 weekends. Hey, I'm on vacation. I need
we need you.
And like I said, it's definitely one of the pillars in the veterans community that we can definitely lean on. And I definitely encourage other VSOs and other veterans to get involved. One of the main things they're needing is veteran peer leaders, you know, someone for these vets to call, you know, when the gambling hits back up, when the drugs hit back up, and that sort of thing. And that is definitely something that they could use the support of.
Are you seeing gambling? We've got marijuana being legal. Do you see that as a problem? Gambling all of a sudden
really,
is legal?
Really anything and not to sugarcoat it or broad brush it. Anything they're going to use their disability check on that negatively affect them, we want to help them out with. Whether it's gambling, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol.
Are you seeing an increase in gambling problems out there?
It's one of those things. Yes, now it's legal, but now there's a reason why at the very end they put, oh, hey, and if you have trouble, you can put a time limit, and then they talk real fast through it, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it's like I said, just to get out in front of it, it's already there, you know, and it's something that we can kind of, you know, as people come in and get benefits, you know, you always listen to, oh, hey, you know, now I can do this, or, oh, now I can go buy more lottery tickets, or this and that. Well, listen, we're not helping you out so you could go win the lottery, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you want to, another thing we need to keep an eye on as everything continues to evolve here.
Sure.
And when when did you say Home Base was?
June 20th.
Oh,
and that's the week after our live show at the Vietnam Wall in Fall River.
That is we're going to Fall River.
We're going to Fall River, the Vietnam Wall, which is a permanent wall, not a traveling wall.
Yeah.
And we're going to do
How big is it? Just a small wall?
385 feet. It's an 80% replica.
Wow.
There are only three others in the country that size.
Wow.
And we're going to be there June 13th to do a live show at 7 p.m. And it's kind of follows up because next Friday is National Vietnam Veterans Day. And celebrating it, a lot of the communities are having Vietnam Veterans Day. So to all my brothers and sisters out there who served during the Vietnam War, check your local VSOs or cities and towns, seeing if there's an event. There is one at the Vietnam Wall in Fall River on Friday at 10 a.m., rain or shine. And the 20 Vietnam Veterans of America 207 will put that event on. And I know there are other events throughout the week that
Weymouth has a 2 o'clock event there from 2 to 4.
On Friday?
On that Friday.
Yep. Someone moved it to Thursday because it's Good Friday, but we're traditional. If Friday's the 29th,
that's the
National Vietnam Veterans Day. So all my brothers and sisters, You know, it's a day to celebrate because we're here, and it's a day to celebrate that we're here. We want people to remember us. And, you know, as I always say, that the brothers and sisters, the 58,000 plus that are on the wall, they'll always be young. You know, they'll always be remembered as young. And in our hearts, we want to honor them as well. But it's a day for us to celebrate and to make sure that this day is not forgotten and those who served are not forgotten. So, and, you know, as we follow up, the 50th has been a big deal the last 12 years. They've been celebrating every year. Well, as of April 30th next year, there'll be no more 50th anniversaries. Maybe they'll start a 60th, who knows. But we're just a little concerned that once the April 75 comes around, there's no more 50th anniversary, that people will start kind of forgetting about those.
Gives you reason to live that long, Justin. Yeah. Gives you something to do, you know?
Well, it is a big deal, the 50th anniversary, as I'm sure Pearl Harbor was on their 50th. But we just don't want to get lost after that and have those who served.
I think the Veterans Voice is going to keep reminding people as long as we have a voice.
Absolutely.
You know, and we got young kids out there like Chris here, you know, that are going to not forget and make sure that the families are not forgotten. And the scars of Vietnam are still living on, unfortunately.
You know, and our national motto is never again will one generation abandon another. And so when you came home, it was the Vietnam veterans who will welcome you home. We made sure that you came home and your service mattered. No matter what the outcome of the war or what the outcome of a battle, your service mattered no matter where you served, whether you're in country or you were sitting in a base in Kansas City. The service that you raised your hand and you took the oath, and that has to be more than thanked.
Well, definitely, and one of the things that we pride ourselves on is to continue that. And we could not enjoy some of the benefits or benefit from some of the benefits without the struggles that came before. And we definitely take that on, and we are ready to help the generations and continue to do what we do. And like I say, if you guys didn't do what we did, guys and gals, we couldn't do what we do today. So.
Well, we promise not to forget here, but unfortunately, we can't forget that time is of the essence. Chris, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Appreciate it.
Sharing all your information with us. Come on back on. Anytime you have a special event that you're doing, you want to throw a shout out, give us a call. Come on in anytime. Just walk in, the door's open.
And come by on July 13th to the festival.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We'll be there.
Come up and see what we're doing up here. I don't know if you've been to one of our festivals.
I was at the one last year. It was fun.
Well, this one here, rumor has it, we're going to have the Leapfrogs, the custom parachute Navy SEALs precision parachute team dropping in, as well as possibly a Black Hawk helicopter from our friends at the National Guard.
Excellent. Well,
so we're gonna have a lot of excitement. Jen, thanks for tonight. Thanks for coming in. Gino, thank you for putting us all together.
Good to be here.
Larry, thanks for putting the office together and tricking us.
Look at him right there.
What a handsome guy. What a handsome guy. Look at these all smiles. Thanks, everybody. Next week, Mr. Ring, the director of the Boston VA Healthcare System, is going to be here to talk about the achievements and accomplishments that the healthcare system here has enjoyed. So have a good week, everybody, and we wish you all well, and we beat winter. No more snow. Take care, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed the good they die young. I just looked at